Hello there, and welcome to the Audio Drama Production Podcast. I'm Fiona.
And I'm Sarah, and today we're on page two of our extravaganza looking at different script formatting programmes.
Fantastic.
So who are we hearing from this week?
Yeah. Well, this week we've got Monique Boudreau from Oral Sound Studios.
Marvellous.
And
Alexander Danner from amazing Greater Boston.
And Maximilian Defoe from Mollyville.
Amazing collection of people.
It is,
I'm so
indeed.
Excited. But yeah,
yes.
We wanted to talk really about our experiences of interacting with script formats and made specific from a voice acting point of view. And you've got obviously a lot more producing experience. So as a producer, what kind of problems have you experienced with specific formatting of scripts?
Well, I think we were talking earlier about this. The way that you write a script for a professional production, if you go to BBC Writers Room, which again we will put a link on our website to, you can see some excellent professional examples of scripts and how they're laid out. Mm. Obviously, those scripts are aimed at a normal, in little quoting marks, the little fingers we're waving, for a normal production, then you're obviously going to be giving the script to a director who is going to be there working with the actors and so on. And I think for me, I've only ever done satellite audio drama. So with that, if you're doing satellite where you're working with remote actors, you might want to put in extra information into the script. Not much, but just a little bit here and there.
Just to get some context, absolutely. I do find that's quite key. I do think, I listened back to something that I've been involved in recently and just felt, I didn't realise it was taking place outside, and so my volume would have been different to the one that I then portrayed because of how it came across. I just felt it didn't quite fit, and I didn't have that information to put into my performance. So, yeah, it's just giving that actor that contextualisation of a place or time, yeah.
That's it, exactly. So you might be giving actors extra information, but you might, if you're producing it and you're actually putting the sound effects in, you might not want to list every single one of them in as much detail as you might normally. Mm. So what we're talking about now, obviously, is not professional handing your script in advice. It's more just practical sort of advice for, for satellites and how you might do it. But obviously, yeah, you don't want to overload your script with tons of directions for the actor. And it's good to keep it as minimal as possible. But like you say, a bit of info can go a long way.
I think it's also things like, if you are putting stage directions in, make those very clearly a different part of the script, because I have found that a lot of those have run on, and although you've done preparation on the script, you can potentially accidentally read out stage directions as well if it's not formatted to be, easy on the eye. And I did find some of the best scripts I've had as an actor have had some painstaking effort put in by the writer, for example, colour coding all of the character names made it so easy, 20 to 50 page script to just scan and see where you spoke. Whereas, if you have that and you're appearing in a whole series of things and you might have two lines in one and several pages in the next, it becomes really hard to make sure that you have hit all those lines. And I'm sure as a producer, there's nothing more irritating than an actor having missed out a line or two. Through trying to be diligent, but it can happen.
Also, another one is when there is a choral event in it. Mm. And so a producer writes something like everyone. Very often actors will find their parts within the script by highlighting them, by searching the name and highlighting. Mm. And sometimes I do go through and make sure, search for everyone, search for all, just in case there are those extra lines, because otherwise you can miss them.
That's it. And that's my fear of not producing everything. And then the director comes and says, can you do this line and this line? It's like, oh no, I feel mortified. I missed that.
Yeah. Another thing that you could think about from an actor's viewpoint, of course, is mocking up your script. And you can do that digitally now with lots and lots of apps. Mm-hmm. What kind of ones are there, Sarah?
I don't know how you say it, but it's Xodo, X-O-D-O. Look at that. And iAnnotator too, that can be used alongside whatever formats. I think they all filter in. Mm-hmm. And then I've heard Dropbox Paper. I have not used that one, but that's one to have a good fiddle with if you like. Google Docs. And I use a lot Goodreader. I use that myself, and I've been able to play around with Goodreader and look at scripts on there quite a lot, and it seems quite a good way of working. And I've heard that people, you know, wanting Patreon rewards for certain tiers have wanted to, you know, send out marked up scripts that people have used in production and things. So, yeah, it might be an idea to explore if that's something that you could offer as to, you know, not just your directors or producers, but your actors' notes as well. Might be interesting for someone to have and then get them to sign the script. You're laughing.
Fantastic. So make sure you use all those annotation devices to doodle and do some artwork, that kind of thing. Make it nice and interesting.
Sexy artwork. So talking of sexy artwork, we've got some lovely people who we're about to hear from. So without further ado, I think we'd better let them get on with it.
Enjoy.
Hi everyone, I'm Monique Boudreau from Oral Stage Studios. Recently, Sarah contacted me to find out if I'd like to share my experiences using Writer Duet as a tool to create audio drama scripts. So, here I am. To start out with, I have tried different writing programs. I've used Celtix, Trelby, Final Draft, Adobe Story, and even your basic computer word processing software. So far, Writer Duet is my favorite. There's a few different reasons I've remained loyal to Writer Duet over the past few years. It works. It's incredibly functional. The creator of Writer Duet listens to the writers who use the software and continuously adapts it in the form of free updates. He improves the software all the time. Writer Duet is developed by a writer for writers with input from writers. So how does it compare to Final Draft? Writer Duet has the same default page count and line lengths as Final Draft, and it imports Final Draft templates. I think Writer Duet has more features than Final Draft, and I know it has more features that I actually use. So I thought I would outline the ones that I found the most useful for writing audio drama scripts. I originally gave Writer Duet a try when I began collaborating with other writers on projects. Real-time collaboration means I can work with other writers on the same scripts at the same time, and I can see what changes are being made and who's making them. Along these lines, Writer Duet also includes infinite revision tracking. This feature allows you to see changes by date, writer, revision, edit, or even line. You can see what was added and what was removed, insert text from previous revisions, and find that bit you deleted in an overzealous fit of editing. And if you can't convince the person you're working with to use Writer Duet, it's not a problem. Software can import and export Final Draft, Celtix, and PDF files. It also lets you copy and paste text from other screenwriting software, and typically with the correct formatting. One of my favorite features is the Outliner. It looks like a court board with index cards, which I actually have a physical version of. You can organize, move, color code, and tag each scene card. If I move a card on my board, the scene moves in the script. It also lets me look at all of my scenes at a glance, which helps me keep on track, find loose ends, and check for continuity and pacing. Along those lines, I can also view up to 3 pages of the script at once, which again lets me see where I am and where I'm going in a scene. Another way I keep track of all those threads I'm creating is by using Writer Duet's embedded multimedia tool. This handy feature allows me to embed an image, a song, a video, or any bit of inspiration directly into the script. It stays hidden in the background unless I need it. Need to know how many horns your demon has on its head? Want to keep referencing that world map you developed? This is a great way to do it. Another important feature for me is the automatic backups. The software instantly saves my changes online. I can also save whenever I want and save to my hard drive, Google Drive, or Dropbox. Writer Duet includes a number of really incredible tools. The ones that I use the most are the Format Checking Tool, which can search your script for up to 9 different formatting problems. The Report Tool generates a script breakdown based on specific criteria. Want a list of scenes from the script? You've got it. Need to see which characters are in which scenes? You've got that too. If you're someone who writes and produces your own projects, the Report Tool is useful throughout every aspect of production for planning, prepping, and designing. Writer Duet's free version is a strong, functional software option, and it includes many of the tools I've mentioned. But its pro version is really affordable and comes with a few payment options. Personally, I like paying for something once rather than using the subscription model that's becoming more and more popular with software companies like Adobe and Celtix. So there are my two bits. Writer Duet, very functional, extremely affordable. Ultimately, I think that writing styles are personal, and each writer finds their own preferences, habits, and flow. It really doesn't make a difference which writing software you use, as long as you just keep writing.
This is Alexander Danner, co-creator of Greater Boston, the story of a city on a train beneath the city of Boston, which I co-create with Jeff Van Driesen. You can find us online at greaterbostonshow.com or on Twitter at ingreaterboston. My preferred writing application for most work is Scrivener, which I've been using since long before I started writing audio drama. Scrivener is a very flexible application. It allows for unformatted writing like a standard word processor, but it also has a lot of pre-formatted scripting templates like you would use in Final Draft or Celtics. In addition to screenplay formats, it does include a BBC radio play format as well, along with various other document formattings like comic script formatting. What's more, it's designed to let you write in one format and then export your document with various transformations. So the document you export or print can look quite different from your working document. This is valuable to me because the formats required by publishers are often very different from the formats that I'm comfortable writing in. Short story publishers, for instance, expect stories to be submitted with a courier typeface and with odd formatting bits like italics presented with underlined spaces surrounding the relevant phrase instead of actual italics. This is awkward and unpleasant formatting while you're trying to write. But with Scrivener, you can ignore all that, format how you're comfortable formatting, and then when you export it, just have it change those details according to predefined transformations. So I can export directly into standard manuscript format for submission without having to actually manually reformat anything. This same functionality can be applied to scripting as well, where standard formats tend to be useful for timing out a script, but can often be very ugly and awkward when you're trying to be creative, especially if, like me, you find the courier typeface to be just distractingly ugly, even though it is the industry standard in most screenwriting formats and audio writing formats. For Greater Boston, we keep our actual script formats very simple. We're not currently using the radio or screen pre-formatted templates. Jeff and I both came from a background in playwriting, so our scripts have that looser style common to stage scripts without any line numbering or any of the other radio conventions. That said, we do try to keep the scripts very actor-friendly, with breaks as needed in monologues, which is one of the formatting elements that sometimes gets unwieldy in standard broadcast formats. Our show has more than the usual focus on monologues, so keeping those large text blocks easy to follow is very important for us. My favorite aspect of Scrivener is its organizational power. Scrivener allows you to organize a document as a series of folders, each containing multiple pieces. So moving a scene from one episode to another is just a matter of dragging and dropping that item from one folder to another, rather than cutting and pasting and then scrolling through the whole thing to find exactly the spot you're looking to put it in, and then maybe accidentally dropping it in the middle of a sentence. I really took to this method of organization as a teacher developing curriculum, where I would have dozens of moving parts that can shift around in a single project. That same organizational power has beautifully suited my needs in organizing a serial audio drama, especially one like Greater Boston that has a lot of non-sequential bits that can move around within an episode and between episodes as we're planning our season. So the way it works is the scripts for Greater Boston are all within a single Scrivener file. There's only one file with the entire script for the entire series. One continuous piece broken into folders by season and then by episode. This is tremendously helpful for planning and visualizing the movement of our season, as well as for managing the placement of each piece within an episode and within each season. What's more, it makes referencing past episodes for details relevant to future episodes very easy. So if we're, you know, trying to remember exactly when a certain character did something or where a certain prop was last seen, we don't need to go and find that older script and guess at which episode something happened in. It's all right there in one document within the script we're already working on. You can just run a search for keywords on every episode at once and find exactly the moment from a past episode that we're looking for. Similarly, Scrivener has all the functions you need to build a detailed show Bible right within the same file that your scripts are in. with reference folders where you can collect templates for individual detail pages for characters or locations or anything else you might need. We've made less use of that utility than we likely should have, but it's there for showrunners who are more organized than we are. Now, all that said, one place where Scrivener unfortunately utterly fails is in collaboration. There are no document sharing features at all, which means that Jeff and I have to be very careful about updating our master files with each other's work, and there's always some paranoia that our files will get out of sync. This isn't a small issue, and honestly, I don't know that I would use Scrivener for a collaborative project again in the future, which is a shame as I'm very reliant on the organizational tools in Scrivener, but the challenge of keeping our master documents up to date is onerous, and we often miss being able to see the live updates to each other's sections in real time. For a solo project, I would continue to stick with Scrivener. For almost any type of writing, the organizational tools are just the best I've ever used. I have taken a look at Celtics, which has a similar drag-and-drop functionality where you can move a scene around. But while it allows you to move a scene around within an episode, it does not currently allow you to move a scene from one episode to another in that easy drag-and-drop way. And that's just something that happens too often in our writing process, that it's essential to us. Our planning process is split between Scrivener and Google Sheets. We plan and then write complete seasons before beginning any production, so we're really working through 12 episodes at a time for each writing phase that we go through. And again, the lack of sharing tools in Scrivener makes it difficult to do our planning there. When I was first working on the show, I did do my planning in Scrivener using the folder organization as a way of shuffling index cards, essentially, for various scenes and characters around. But now we do most of that in a Google spreadsheet. We do come back to Scrivener folders later when we start actually writing episodes. This helps to plan out the overall structure of the episode and to really see how the scenes will move from one character to the next, and what extra bits will go in to help break up the major scenes. Our planning process is much faster now than it was at the outset. We spent somewhere around a year and a half planning and writing our first season, but only around 6 months for the second, which was to be expected because by the second season we knew who our characters were and how our show worked, so we were able to jump back into writing the new season without having to build the whole foundation that we had to think through the first time around. Individual scripts usually don't take us terribly long to write. I'd say a week or two for each script on average. We do have a substantial revision process after that. We, of course, read and critique each other's scripts. And then once we feel like we've got a good second or third draft, we generally arrange a table reading with cast and friends where we hear our scripts read out loud. And invite all of the readers to give their own feedback on what's working, what isn't working, what isn't clear, and then go back and do another round of revisions after that. And so the revising process is a very significant part of our writing process. And that is all I have to say about Scrivener for the moment. If anyone would like to ask me any questions, please feel free. Again, you can reach us at InGreaterBoston on Twitter, or find us online at greaterbostonshow.com.
Do, 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 do. Oh, yeah. My name is Maximilian Defoe, and I am best known for my afterlife paranormal satire audio drama. It's about a guy who wakes up dead in Los Angeles, and he doesn't really know what to do. There's no white light. So he's just figuring it out. So the podcast is about his journey. And there are some other characters that are fun too. There's a character named Karen who is struggling to shake off a rotten friend. My other audio drama is the Mollyville Modern Radio Drama. And that is a multi-season series. And it's dystopian. It's an interesting mixture of dystopian and domestic suspense. Domestic suspense is like stories about people and the intimate details of their lives. And so that's that. And it's also got a dystopian aspect as well, because essentially this is a an area, an off-grid area where people have created their own commune. They provide their own electricity, et cetera, et cetera. It's like luxurious. It's like basically the long-term version of glamping, basically. Anyway, so that's the Mollyville modern radio drama, available on iTunes. I hope that you will give it a listen. I use a bunch of different writing programs at different times for different reasons. So I'll start with my classic favorite, Google Docs. I love Google Docs. What I really love and what will really elevate your own personal use of Google Documents is the extensions. If you can get extensions for Google Docs that can really increase the functionality. The ones that I use in particular, they're navigation creation extensions. They're super helpful. My documents are often very long. I use Google Documents to write my novels, and the reason why the outline feature or the navigator feature, sometimes it's called an outline, the functionality is the same. But basically, it creates hyperlinks inside your document, and it's coupled with headline styles. So on a new section, I can not only create like a title a little for that section, but it also creates a hyperlink and I can jump around to it using this navigation pane on the side without adding extensions. You don't have as much functionality. Here are some of my favorites. There's an add-on called Better Word Count. As an author, word count is always really important because I have to tell people, like if I'm hiring someone to edit one of my works, I have to tell them how many words it is. There are a lot of times that I'll need to know that. Most often I need to know because I'm trying to hit my daily word count when I'm working on something. So Better Word Count, definitely use that add-on for Google Documents. And it's useful for other things too. If you, for example, another thing I do, I wear so many hats to get my projects out there. I do all my own social media, and sometimes I will plan ahead campaigns for a particular work. And so I'll sit down and do a little writing session, and I'll sit down and come up with copy to promote one episode or another. And word count is especially important for social media posts because, as you know, Twitter does not give you 141 characters. So I have found the sweet spot for social media. About 80 characters is very good. It is just the right length. It gives enough characters for people to get the information that they need. And that way, I don't have to do word counts constantly as I'm creating the copy. I just know if it's under 80, it's good. So that Better Word Count add-on is super useful, not only for novel writing, but for social media and other stuff too. Change Case is a game changer too. Change Case add-on lets you change from any case to another. So there's sentence case, which of course you know, first letter capitalized. But then there's also title case. So title case is not only for writing titles and documents, but it's also great for writing headlines. And if you do anything to promote yourself on social media, which I hope you are, no matter what you do, title case is what you want to use for headlines. Now, as anyone who follows me can tell you, I am a super stickler for things being perfect. Not creatively, but structurally, you know, commas, periods, all that stuff. It's important. There is an add-on that I've never heard anyone talk about before, but I love it. It's called Pupil Pref, and it lets you change the background color of your Google document. I know. It's so amazing. It's really helpful. I spend so much time writing. It's really refreshing to be able to have like pink, yellow, green, something that matches my outfit. Hey, it's little things. Now, this is my most recent find and the last add-on that I'll talk about. It's called Speaked, S-P-E-A-K-D, no apostrophe. And it will speak what you write, and it is awesome. Here's a little story. Back in the day when I first started writing, of course, I had to get Final Draft. And one of my favorite features of Final Draft was this similar function. Now, it was my most favorite feature because I could hear my character speak the dialogue. Of course, if you're making an audio drama, this is a free table read if you choose to look at it that way. In Final Draft, the characters would have slightly different voices, which was cool. And I used to love to make the characters say, you know, curse words and stuff like that. Oh,
come on, don't act like you haven't done it. We've all done that, right? Anyway, one of my guiltless pleasures. So in essence, this is Google Docs version of that feature. You can sit back, close your eyes, and listen to the dialogue you've written. And if it sounds phony, you'll notice it. Another thing that's helpful is it helps you catch typos. If you're writing any kind of copy, no matter how long or short it is, it's helpful to sit back and listen to it. Number one, if you find that you're bored, that's valuable information. It can show you when you need to punch up your writing. The kind of typos it can help you pick up are the kind of typos where you're omitting a word. If you read my blog, you'll see that my blogs are very conversational. So I don't need to sound like a textbook. I want to sound like me, a person, hopefully a person that you like. And anyone can achieve this by using this. It will help you become a better writer. And it's free. Another program that I use is called Bear, B-E-A-R, just like the animal. It's newish. I think they first launched their beta in 2016, I think. Anyway, it's very new. And it is amazing. In one word, if I had to describe it, I would say Evernote. It's very similar to Evernote, but it's better than Evernote. Number one, it's very beautiful to use. It's really easy. It syncs across all your devices. Basically, it does all the things that other like Evernote and other note-taking programs do. Most note-taking programs offer these same options. They'll sync across your devices, store your notes on the cloud, allow you to export to various formats, including EPUB, HTML, PDF. One thing that's special about, let me tell you the things that are special about Bear, though. One thing Bear does is it's great for if people who write code, you can use Bear to write your code. And Bear understands markup. So for example, I just use this to give you a contrast because I used to be an evangelist of Evernote. The thing about Bear that I love, and I'll show you in a contrast to Evernote, is in Evernote, you have some basic formatting choices like underline, bold, italicize, those kinds of things. But you have to use your mouse and clicky to make that happen. In Bear, you can just put asterisks around the words you want bolded, and there are keyboard shortcuts for everything, and that's really helpful. You can use simple hashtags to create your headings, headings 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You just put 5 hashtags if you want to be heading 5. You can have Bear, it's free. However, it's like freemium. So if you want to be able to export to PDF, say, then you have to be a subscriber. But it's not very expensive. It's $14.99 for the whole year or $1 and some change every month. But the free version is great. And adding the pro version does add a little bit of extra functionality, but most people, I dare say, don't really need it. I mean, how often do you need to export your copy to JPEG? Alternately, I highly recommend Evernote. Evernote has a chat feature too. Basically, Evernote has a very similar functionality to Google Drive in terms of being able to invite people into a document or into a series of documents. And the chat feature is wonderful if you are collaborating on an idea with someone. Evernote also has a paid version. I'll tell you honestly, I don't have the paid version. The free version I can highly recommend also. Bear and Evernote both are excellent for jotting down your ideas. What I love about both these apps is that I can jot down whatever's in my mind right now, and I can save it. At a later point, if I think of another thing that, you know, is connected to that project, maybe it's an appendum to the first idea that I had, instead of going back and trying to dig through and find my document or whatever and then add it to that, which I certainly could do, but oh my God, like, that's so 2016. Instead, I can just create a new note. Later, I can just like put a keyword in the search and it will pull up in the sidebar automatically every document that has whatever those words I typed in. One of my favorites, and it's new, and I'm new to it, but I love it. And it's called Storyist. Storyist, let me just start right now. Storyist is not free, but it's only $60. Storyist is great for creating worlds and anything beyond that. So you can have your script in Storyist. It is not only a script formatting program. it is a place where you can literally build a world. So essentially, you can create a profile for your character, and it's like a sheet of paper. You can put a photograph of them, and there are a few prompts, not many, just a few places where you can put the basics that you'd need to know for a character, whether or not the character is male or female, or if it's a raccoon or something like that. You know, just the very basics, name, age, whatever, you know. There's room for a brief description. It's an aspect that I really appreciate about Storyist. And I've never seen this in any other program before. So like character point, you've heard that there are like character-driven stories, and then there's like plot-driven stories. So, you know, a plot point is a point in the plot that spins the action into another direction. So a character point is like a plot point for a person. So you can incorporate these different character points into your character profile. It is fantastic because you can make sure, ensure, confirm, and affirm that your characters are growing. When you look at a character sheet, which is like kind of like a profile, if you see that there are no character points, you can guess that either, like maybe your character's not doing a lot of growing. It's a great device to help you plan the evolution of your characters. It's incredible. And then there's also a similar function for locations. So one thing that people love about Final Draft, me too, is the index card situation, right? So Storyist also has this feature, and the background looks like a cork board and it looks like index cards. It's very easy to switch and look at different things. I can look at the cork board at the same time as I look at the script, at the same time as I look at the outline, if I'd like. But what I really love is the drag and drop. So let's say I've got my cork board up with my index cards. In the outline version, that is also up on the screen at the same time if I want. So in the outline, if I grab one of those index cards, which represents one of my scenes, and I drag it and drop it upward or whatever, it moves that entire scene in the script and on the cork board. Super helpful. Storyist literally has every element. It has a script writing element. It has good, solid templates. Very easy to use. You don't have to clicky, clicky, clicky to do all kinds of stuff like, you know, bolding, italicize and stuff. It's really intuitive. And it really takes the bother out of formatting. So if you are a person who is making an audio drama and you've been wanting to move into a more professional script writing format, I really recommend Storyist because it makes the formatting effortless. Right now, my favorite script writing program by far is Slugline. My number one recommendation for someone who is beginning with formatting, I would say do Amazon Storywriter. It's free and it gives you everything you need. And once you know you want to do this, or if you've got the money to spare, then go ahead and invest in Slugline. You won't be sorry. It's a program that's created by scriptwriters, and it is absolutely hands down the very best. And again, the only difference between it and Amazon Storywriter that I can see is that with Slugline, and this is why I love it, I don't have to clicky through or toggle through the different elements of script writing. It's intuitive, and its intuition is in alignment with my workflow. So it's super, super fabulous. I'll tell you how I use them together and how you might like to use them together. So Evernote and Bear are like your note places. That's where you want to put all your ideas. I've been collecting my notes. Let's say I'm getting ready to now do season 2 of Mollyville. Well, for the last year, I've been coming up with ideas, writing scenes, coming up with casting notes, all kinds of stuff like that. And now I'm getting ready to start the project. So I would sit down, I'll open Evernote, because all of these are in Evernote, and I'll just put in Mollyville, for example. All of my stuff will come up. Let's say I'm going to write a scene. I have a couple of choices. I can just start writing the scene and using Amazon Screenwriter or Slugline. But for something like Mollyville, I would probably want to pull not all of my notes, and this is why I say I don't advocate using just one program. I don't want to just have every single note that I've ever taken on Mollyville. I only want to see the stuff that I'm going to use or that I'm going to use right now. So that's why I suggest using more than one program. You feel me? So you've got your notes place, and then you've got your creation place. And then you've got your just straight script writing stuff. And I use all of these things. Even though I have stories, I don't always need to build a whole world. Some of these characters, I know them so well, I don't need to put together pictures and stuff like that. But when it comes to working with a team, I think it can be invaluable. How wonderful would it be for someone to be able to look and see the photographs of the character, that, you know, the location, what it looks like, even if it's just so you guys can be on the same page, or so the two of you or the three or four or the group of you or the whole production can be on the same page with what the house looks like or whatever. It's wonderful. There are two script writing programs that I will just discuss briefly. They are Adobe Story and Final Draft. I kind of lump them together because those are the two programs that have a very high and professional and similar functionality. You can build your production inside of Final Draft. So like you can create schedules and the stuff that you need to actually produce something, to shoot it. And even if you're producing an audio drama and there's no shooting per se, there's recording, and you can use those programs similarly for some of the same reasons, you know, to help you organize your special effects, sound effects, other stuff that you need. You totally can utilize those programs. But I find that most people who are writing that I come in touch with, they're not writing it and also shooting it. The same person who is the writer is not usually also in charge of the production itself, coming up with the scheduling and the, you know, the shooting scheduling and all that stuff. And the thing that's great about Final Draft is, and Adobe Story, is you can totally import scripts from someplace else, but it works best when you create the script in the program. The primary difference between Adobe Story and Final Draft for me is I really like the way Adobe Story looks. And maybe because I looked at Final Draft for so long, I got tired of looking at it. But the functionality is the same, but it's the information and your options are presented to you in a different fashion. And that's something that you have to experience. I really can't describe it. One thing I love about Final Draft, and this is unique to Final Draft that I've seen so far, dual dialogue. Every now and then, usually only when I'm writing comedy, I like to have two characters say something at the same time. And Final Draft does have that element where you can have two characters on the same line, their names, you know, sharing the same dialogue line. I know it's just a little thing, but sometimes it's the little things. For television writing, I always have to create a story Bible. And as an audio drama creator, you want to have your story Bibles too. It's really super helpful for getting everyone on board with what to expect. And Google Documents is great for that. Those other programs I talked to you about, like Amazon Storywriter, Slugline, and Storyist, those are professional writing programs. And there is a specific format that you must present your material in, or else you won't be looking professional. And you got to look professional if you want to be taken seriously. But when you're creating your ideas, you must allow yourself the freedom to use colors and different fonts, whatever you've got to do to make it fun for yourself. And Google Documents gives me that freedom because I love the Google fonts. Give me those fonts. When I create my story Bible, I use Google Documents. I don't do a story Bible in Evernote or any other place. I only use Google Documents. At the very least, a story Bible will consist of, you know, a few pages telling you what the show is. It'll consist of then also, and this is like the minimal, I'm giving you the minimum here, at least one page per episode to tell you the main things that happen in the episode. It's not really beat sheets. It's just more like conversational. This is what happens in this episode, so that I could give someone, if they were a trusted collaborator or a trusted friend, I could give someone my story Bible and they would be able to, in a, like, you know, read a couple pages, know what the show is about. And then each page they look at could tell them what the episode is. So in essence, they could experience the entire season in a few minutes. An episode is an episode, whether it's a podcast episode, an audio drama episode, or a television episode. So if you're creating audio dramas, please don't be turned off if it sounds like I'm talking about television writing. I do the same thing either way, whether I'm writing an audio drama or a television show. I still have my story Bibles and I'll still be creating these documents. Other important documents that I create using Google Documents are my pitch, outlines, I usually use Google Documents to make all of my outlines. Very easy. Don't need any add-ons for that. So, for example, if you really love the idea of Storyist, but you're not ready to or just can't at the moment plunk down $60 to buy it, you can get all the same functionality by using Google Documents, Amazon StoryWriter, and Evernote together. Those three programs are 100% free, and they'll be free forever. So you can put your ideas, your images, your voice notes, links, and you can have chats inside of your Evernote. You can use your Google Documents to create your pitch, to write out your outlines, and your story Bible. And you can use the Amazon StoryWriter, or is it Amazon ScriptWriter? Gosh, all this script talk, I've got it all jumbled around in my brain. You know what I'm talking about. You can use that to actually create your script. I think everyone who has a story to tell should start with professional tools because they're built for ease of use. Don't tell yourself that because you're not trying to be a television writer that you shouldn't enjoy, that you shouldn't have the tools that professional script writers use. You don't know what's inside unless you try. If it interests you, go for it. If it interests you, there's probably something inside of you that wants to come out and play. And using professional tools will help you get there faster. Even if someone is not a professional actor, everyone can recognize a professional-looking script. I'm starting to use television and screenwriting formats for writing my audio dramas because it allows me to give the people that I work with more freedom, even though these things are not going to be seen on any screen. So for example, if I'm creating this an audio drama episode and the scene takes place at a dock, like a pier, I can actually say that it's at a pier, and the person who's doing the sound design now knows that this takes place at a pier. If, on the other hand, I use a different kind of format to write my audio drama, then I have to say, you know, sound effects, a horn blowing or waves crashing or whatever. And I'll get what I need, certainly, for the production. But sometimes it's better to give the people you're working with more information. It allows them space to add some of themselves into the production. All of the writing programs that I've mentioned today are programs that I use every day. All of these programs are, in my opinion, completely without issue. Like, I've already written to you and thanked the developers. They're that good. Tips for writers is one of my superpowers, I've been told. So here are some tips. And seriously, there's no shortage. I mean, I could riff on this all day, but I won't. Here's my number one tip. Let people know when you're writing that you're writing. Let them know in no uncertain terms that you're not to be disturbed unless literally the house is on fire. If the hub of your home is your kitchen, then let's say, take your phone and turn the volume up if, you know, so that it can be heard if it rings, and just leave it in plain sight on the counter. If somebody in your house texts you or whatever, they'll hear their own message ringing off in the kitchen and they'll remember or be reminded, oh, mommy or daddy or sister or brother is not available right now because here's their phone on the countertop. Then what you do is you have just take a piece of paper, not a little scratch paper, not a post-it, a big full-size piece of paper, and write on it, writing in progress, and then in parentheses put, unless there is literally a fire, do not disturb. Tape it on the door. Number two, you have to have goals. Let's say I'm working on an audio drama and I'm writing an episode. Maybe you're awesome and you can write an episode in one writing session, but that's very unusual. Mostly you'll want to plan out your episode and you have a beat sheet or you got your outline. Have a goal for how many scenes you want to write and hit that number because that is what's going to get you to the finish line. Let's say you got 10 episodes in your season, right? So schedule those 10 episodes with dates. That's important. I make the first stage of my plan. First draft due on this date. Once the first draft is finished by that date, because that's how it's got to be, then I come up with my date for my second draft. So that's really helpful. When it comes to manuscripts, you start with how many seasons or how many episodes or how many words is appropriate for this project. And then break it down. Your season, if you like this style, could consist of a story Bible. And then you have a date for each episode. And if you wanted to, in your own personal documents, this is not something that this is like not industry standard. You certainly want to give this to anyone, but like for your own purposes, you could have a little date next to each episode in your story Bible to help you keep things in perspective. I would also like to take this time to advocate self-education. So I'm taking a master class and it's for television writing and it's really helping me a lot. There are masterclasses for just about anything. You can take a masterclass for novel writing. And okay, masterclass for television writing is really helpful for audio dramatists because essentially you're writing television that you listen to. I think that it can be really helpful for someone who's creating an audio drama to use tried and true methods of planning your episodes. Creative Live is a great resource for advanced education. You can learn about sound design, audio production, social media stuff. Now, I'm not talking just like the regular run-of-the-mill stuff that you can get on anybody's blog. I'm talking like really useful, really helpful video courses. And if you take a writing class, your audio drama is going to be greatly improved. If you take, any psychology, literally any type of higher education, you can apply it to your creativity. If you learn about, business. Taking courses in business can actually give you ideas about how to structure your audio drama. It's just amazing how everything comes together. The biggest game changer that I could suggest to anyone is to take a masterclass geared toward the genre that you are creating or something that will enhance what you're already doing. And as a writer, if you take a class on anything, any topic that interests you, your writing will become more rich. But as an audio drama creator, I feel like it is our privilege and I feel it's my obligation to present the people with the truth. So a lot of research goes into everything that I do. Higher learning. Take writing classes from masters. You know, Aaron Sorkin has a class and master class. So does Shonda Rhimes. She has a class for television writing. Shonda Rhimes, she's the creator of Scandal and Grey's Anatomy and some other shows too, How to Get Away with Murder. She's got a master class for television writing. So take one of those master classes. They're totally affordable and you cannot come out of there without elevating your skills. It's not an easy path. And everyone tells you that. I mean, people try to tell you not to become a writer or, but I admire myself for getting up and doing it every day. I admire anyone who gets up and does it every day.
Oh my goodness, Fiona, I need a little bit of fanning here with fanning. These beautiful voices that we were listening to. Didn't they say some amazing and fabulous things?
They did indeed. Thank you so much to our contributors.
Marvellous advice there. And if you want to follow any of that up and speak to them, then please have a little look on our show notes and there'll be contact details for all of the people who've been lucky enough to have on the show today.
Absolutely. And of course, if you want to contact us about anything that you've heard,
go on.
Please do email us at
audio drama production. No!
No. Please email us at podcast@audiodramaproduction.com. You're getting there.
Oh my God, I'm going backwards now. Right, and also we would really keen for you to, if you are interested in fiction podcasting, have a jump over to the podcast host website. We are focusing today on how to basically get started in the world of podcasting from beginners, intermediates, up to the professional amongst you. There's something in this specific article that I'm sure you'd find fascinating. It's got information on microphones, on technical equipment, and just weighs into starting up your podcast.
Absolutely. And it's got all the jargon as well, which is really helpful to know so that when you're reading articles on these things, you can get there. And it's just like Sarah said, it goes all the way up to advanced. So when you're looking to upgrade, go and have a look.
So thank you very, very much to everyone who's contributed to all of our script programmes.
And also thanks again to all our Patreons who support us in what we do.
Sincerely.
And of course, for our Patreons, we will play your trailers in some very small repayment to you.
So the next one we've got up is Austin's group of amazing young gentlemen from Audio Oblivious Productions. There's this wonderful show, I don't know if you've heard it, it's Winnebago Warrior. I think
really?
It's a wonderful show.
Flutter eyelashes, flutter eyelashes. Yes, it is indeed.
I love that show so much. So yes, there's a lovely trailer for you to enjoy. And if you have time, please jump on over to their website and listen to all of their season one episodes. And they're just starting season two. So do enjoy Winnebago Warrior season two.
And from us, thank you all very much.
Thanks.
Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Howdy, folks. Pull up an ear whilst I spin you a tale. Don't worry, this ain't the same old tale I told you last time. Nope, this is an exciting new tale fraught with new peril and danger. And, of course, new redemption and renewal. It's still the tale of a man determined to find the old West that he remembers from the silver screen of his youth. The tale of a man looking to live the life of a wanderer helping folks in need. Except this time, it looks like he's gonna be needing a little help of his own.
I know deep in my gut troubles are brewing, and being the helpful type, I've decided to inquire about the current situation and see if I can lend a helping hand.
Actually, while I do appreciate you mistaking me for such an iconic image of Western law and justice, I am only the deputy.
Come on back and enjoy hearing from old friends like Hatchet McCoy.
John, aliens are real, your existence is a lie. Cowboys are dumb, and RVs are for desperate losers.
His ma, Lizzie McCoy.
John, I thought you were brave and handsome. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess you're just handsome. I don't think you have the faintest idea what justice is.
As well as a few other familiar faces you might remember.
The clean-shaven look and suit are part of my new job. Told you I was giving up bounty hunting the last time we met. I'm a private investigator now.
This is f***ing bullshit. All I wanted to do was steal a f***ing car and get out of this f***ing place, but no, now I gotta help this bitch.
Along with a whole slew of new faces and new problems for John as he tries to help another small town in need.
Don't you try to dissuade us with your living on the grid logic. You ain't stopping us. You'll see. You all see.
Come noon when that train pulls up, you'll all see.
If you're gonna follow up on something somebody says, you need to pay attention. Try again and don't embarrass us this time.
If something were to transpire and you was suddenly in a position of need, well, don't come to us looking for help.
We may be simple folk, but we're simple folk by choice, not because we can't be something else.
How's folks supposed to drink and celebrate the arrival of our new sheriff if in the dang bar ain't open for us to drink in?
So come sit by the fire and get ready as we follow John, Lizzie, and Hatchet on their continuing adventures outside of life in the Lonely Valley to see what the road ahead has in store for them in the exciting season two of Winnebago Warrior, the tale of John Wainabee.